This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
The world doesn't need another sports show. It needs an awesome sports show. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. Neil, the boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto on the new AM 740. And if you're listening in downtown Toronto and those condo and office towers are having reckless abandon with your reception, tune us in on 96.7 FM. I'm your host, Walter Rigobon. Good morning. And my co-host, Naz Marchese.
Good morning, Wally. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much. We've got a big show today. Two legendary guests. Former Washington Redskin, former Notre Dame legend, and former Toronto Argonaut legend, Joe the Throw Theismann. Certainly looking forward to talking to him. We'll have him on around 9:15. And in the middle of the hour, Toronto Maple Leaf President Brendan Shanahan. It's a huge year for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Hockey's becoming a buzz in the city right now, and we're getting ready for the Toronto Maple Leafs centennial season. And there's some great, great events that the Toronto Maple Leafs have put together for our centennial season. And we're certainly looking forward to talking to Brendan Shanahan about what should be a spectacular 100th year centennial anniversary for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, it should be interesting with both of them. Joe Theismann, after 1 week in the NFL, there's so much turmoil, or after the game in Buffalo anyway, from Thursday night, there's so much turmoil around the NFL. There's lots to talk to him about the NFL, for sure.
And Joe, you know, Joe's never at a loss for words. So we're certainly looking forward to talking to Joe. And I know we got a lot of listeners in Western New York. Our 740 signal goes a long way. And I know you're a huge Buffalo Bills fan, Naz.
Rex is taking it on the chin in Buffalo, let me tell you. Bills fans are going crazy.
I certainly want to talk to Joe. I know that he tweeted a couple of tweets. I don't think he's too thrilled about what happened down at One Bills Drive this week, getting rid of your offensive coordinator. Two games into the season. I don't know how that makes any sense, but we'll talk to Joe about that. Like I said, we're going to talk to president of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Brendan Shanahan. We want to talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs' 100th year anniversary celebration activities planned, and there's lots of them, and certainly looking forward to that. World Cup of Hockey started yesterday, the other night. Blue Jays... certainly up and down. They're in the middle of a race. What race we're in the middle of the next 2 weeks will determine. Well,
they're in two races. One for the East and one for the wild card.
So they're three behind. Correct me if I'm wrong, Naz. They're three behind the Red Sox in the race for the AL East, but they are tied with Baltimore.
That's correct.
Three up in the wild card. So. Depending on what kind of a streak they go on in the next couple of weeks, that will determine where the Jays are. Hopefully they will be in the playoffs. I certainly think they will be in the playoffs unless...
It may end up being a wild card, Wally. It sure looks that way right
could
now.
Could be a wild card. It's going to be, you know, overcome three games in the last 3 weeks. You're a little bit behind the eight ball, but it's been done before in
baseball. They're not passing any teams because it's Baltimore and them that are tied, so it's a little bit easier. And the last series may end up happening. What about this one? Toronto and Boston are tied going into the last game, and it's Sanchez against David Price. Wouldn't that be something?
I got my money on Sanchez.
Price got knocked around by the Yankees yesterday. But they seem to come. You know what? Boston seems to be doing what the Jays did last year. They're down like four or five runs, and they come back.
They're resilient.
Boston seems like they're there.
And don't count the Jays out, even if they're in the wild card. If they get a couple of hot starting pitchers, you know, they only need two of them, two and a half, and their bats wake up, this team is good enough. They are good enough talent-wise, if they're healthy enough. They are good enough talent-wise to win a World Series title.
You know,
I think they're as good. You know, the Cubs seem to be maybe at a slightly higher level than everybody else in Major League Baseball this year. But the Jays get hot at the right time. Watch out.
They don't seem to be playing well defensively, where last year they were playing well defensively. A couple of errors yesterday, and it seems like they're making errors every game. And that wasn't happening last year, so they've got to correct that. But I do think they'll be playing at least in the wild card game.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit, and then hopefully they'll be playing that at the Sky Dome. Certainly would probably make things
make sure the roof is open, right?
make sure the Naz Marchese theory of the open roof. We get to see if that works out for the Blue Jays in a playoff game. Injuries, Blue Jays. Couple of guys are fighting. Donaldson's got a bad hip.
Bad hip, yeah.
Bad hip, but he's toughing. He's seems to be toughing it out.
Well,
but
he went 3-for-3 the first game back from the injury, right?
So hopefully it doesn't have, especially because they need him. You know, they need his defensive prowess as well, because you know he's certainly a stalwart down the third base line, and with Tulowitzki in the middle, I mean they've got a pretty good defense on that side of the ballpark. Sanchez, hopefully he gets over his blister. Estrada's got a bad back. Who else is fighting the injury bug, Naz?
Well, Bautista seems to be fighting an injury still. The one player I've been very impressed with, or two players, is Troy Tulowitzki and Devin Travis. Devin Travis is on a 13-game hitting streak, and Tulowitzki's hitting the ball again. Yeah. Like he's at 24 homers.
Well, I think
80 RBIs.
Yeah, he's the Tulowitzki we thought we were getting when we traded for when the Big A traded for him last year. And aside from that, he's certainly he's a stabilizing force at one of the most important positions, which is shortstop. And he's a leader. You can sense by watching him he's fulfilling a leadership role on this team. And I think we talked about it last week. Because they had that big team meeting, I think it was the Saturday prior.
Yeah.
And I think you and perhaps Lou had made the point that Tulowitzki has risen, apparently seems to be the leader on this team. And certainly he's playing like it in the last month or so.
Yeah, he's definitely the leader of the team. He's going to the pitching mound and helping the pitchers, and he is definitely the leader of the team. You can really tell. Like Donaldson isn't, like, he's not a leader type. He shows you what he does on the field, but Tulowitzki is definitely the leader.
Anyways, I'd like to report just before we go to break, and we'll be back with Joe Theismann, which it's always a thrill having Joe Theismann on the show. He's never at a loss for words, but it's my weekly report on Naz Marchese's wardrobe. And to all our listeners, Naz Marchese this morning is wearing his Blue Jay Blue Jay sweater. Oh, he's unbuttoning it now. Oh, my God, Alabama. You're going to have to rub – you had to rub that into me, didn't you, Naz? So we got Blue Jays, we got Alabama, and on his head, he's wearing a Toronto Maple Leaf cap. So you're
just missing the Bills.
Oh, you got the Bills on your vehicle, Naz. So,
yeah, that's true. That's true.
So Naz is in full regalia this morning, I'm pleased to report. And like I said, we're going to go to break now. We'll be right back with Joe Theismann, and hang in, middle of the hour, Toronto Maple Leaf president, Brendan Shanahan. We're certainly looking forward to chat about some of the great, great things coming up in the Toronto Maple Leaf 100th year anniversary celebrations. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville announced that you can get a three-topping party pizza with 24 slices for just $24. It's perfect for large groups on a budget, like staff meetings, sports teams, or special ops units.
Go, 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 go! Everybody down!
So before you break down any doors, get a three-topping party pizza with 24 square slices for just $24. Call Pizzaville on your cell phone at £3636.
There's an old saying, entrepreneurship doesn't build character, it reveals character. Entrepreneurs learn to trust a person by trusting people. The law firm Rigabon Carly understands this. They know all about entrepreneurs because they work for them. Every day, they've earned their trust. They know that when it comes to meeting the legal and business needs of entrepreneurs, good enough is not enough. Rigabon Carly, the intelligent choice.
Steel's Paint in Woodbridge, an enormous 20,000 square foot superstore that carries nothing but the best. Superior staff, superior advice, superior selection, superior everything. When you have a really tough job to do, they can knock it down to size. They'll show you how to get it done right, and because they only sell the best of everything, you'll get it done to last. That means superior satisfaction. Steel's Paint, 4190 Steel's Avenue West in Woodbridge, the best.
At Titanium Logistics, we believe that choosing the right shipping company comes down to two issues, price and cost. Most prices are competitive, will likely save you money too, but the cost of choosing the wrong company to service your cross-border freight to and from the U.S. and Mexico can be extraordinary. If it's not where it should be, when it should be, that bargain price, worthless. Titanium Logistics. On time, on budget. Call 905-266-3014. Ask for Blair Downey.
This is Daryl Sittler for Alta Infinity and Vaughn. I've worked with some pretty great teams over the years, and the staff at Alta ranks among the very best. Expert sales, superior service, and the largest selection of Infinity cars and SUVs in Canada, and the most competitive pricing anywhere. It's no wonder that Alta has been an all-star performer for well over a decade. Visit AltaInfinityWoodbridge.com, or better yet, drop by the No. 7 Auto Mall at the corner of Martin Grove and Highway 7. Experience the difference that makes Alta Infinity the captain's choice.
From face-offs to playoffs, field goals to own goals, you're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto, and we're thrilled to welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, Joe the Throw Theismann. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
I'm great, buddy. How are you?
I've got to be honest with you, Joe. I am totally and utterly demoralized this morning. I'm a huge fan of the Fighting Irish,
and I know.
And I don't like how this season has started off. And of course, our listeners know Joe Theismann is, of course, a legendary quarterback for Notre Dame. Joe, there's two things I want to see in the few years I have left, and hopefully more rather than less. I want to see Notre Dame win another national championship, and I want to see the Toronto Maple Leafs win the Stanley Cup. But
I'd love to see that too. Notre Dame has got some very, very young people in the secondary. Between injuries and suspensions, the secondary is very green, and that got exposed yesterday. I have concerns. Both teams, as a matter of fact, my Washington Redskins are playing the Dallas Cowboys today in a critical game at FedEx Field. I mean, if the Redskins lose two at home, who knows how angry people are going to be. But, watching that game last night, it seems like tackling is an issue and always has been an issue. And it's a bit of a problem for young guys when it comes to our football team. We have such great expectations for the University of Notre Dame because we're non-conference. Our main goal is to get into the playoffs, the NCAA playoffs, and play for a national championship. And, losing two, that sort of sets you outside the opportunity. And now you get to see what these young kids are made of. And Brian Kelly does a great job of teaching in very, very difficult situations. And, he's not happy with the way the defense is playing. Guys had some opportunities. They fumbled the football in critical situations. They could have put that game away early and forced Michigan State out of what they wanted to do. But, turnovers just kill you. I mean, it's like not getting back on defense in hockey and giving somebody a clean shot at the net and the goaltender. I mean, you make those kind of mistakes, you're going to pay, and that's what's happened to the Irish.
Joe, Greg Roman was fired as offensive coordinator of the Buffalo Bills, and Rex Ryan has brought in someone else. Things are not going well in Buffalo, as you probably know, but the fans are really on Rex Ryan. How can they turn this around?
Well, first of all, I just couldn't, in my wildest dreams, figure out what went on with Greg Roman. You scored 31 points with a quarterback who is average at best. I mean, Tyrod Taylor missed three throws in that game, just simple outs, just flat missed them. You know, the Baltimore Ravens let him go for a reason. And you know, E.J. Manuel hasn't stepped up to the plate. I mean, Tyrod Taylor, you know, had chances to make a play, and he didn't. And you gave up 37 points, you scored 31, and you fired the offensive coordinator. What's wrong with this picture? Unless nepotism rules over coaching decisions in the National Football League, I don't know. But I tweeted out the other day. I said, "Dear Coach Ryan, you scored 37, you scored 31 points, you gave up 37, and you fired your offensive coordinator. Please explain." I mean, I don't understand it one bit. You know, it's LeSean McCoy. I think he'll have a terrific year, but you know, defensively, you know, they don't have a secondary. They just got torched and torn apart by a pretty good receiving core and a guy that's playing really solid football in Ryan Fitzpatrick. But that absolutely flabbergasted me. Unless there was some other reason other than football why Greg Roman got fired.
Here's something. Jim Schwartz had the team 2 years ago on defense, and they were ranked number 4 in the National Football League. Today they're ranked 31st. How does that happen with almost the same personnel? Now, they've let go of a few guys, but Buffalo Bill fans can't take this.
Well, you know, it's what a lot of people don't realize and look at is you can't just look at one side of the ball. You have to look at special teams. You have to look at defense. You have to look at offense. They're all interrelated. If your offense struggles and can't get off the field in certain instances, it puts tremendous pressure on your defense. And remember, you come out of a preseason. Now, this is just the second regular season football game. The guys don't do any hitting all during preseason. You know, you train hard, but there's a difference between training and playing. The starters play maybe 30, 35 snaps through 4 preseason games. Now, all of a sudden, you're asked to play 65 snaps in incredible heat. They're not in shape to play football, to be perfectly honest with you, because of the way that the preseason is set up, the way you're not allowed to hit more than a limited amount of time. You're not allowed to practice more than 6 days in a row. All these restrictions on trying to prepare yourself to play football. Now, some guys have got it figured out and they can do it themselves. But you have to look at Rob Ryan as the defensive coordinator, Rex's brother, and look at the rankings of his defenses over the last 4 years. And I think you'll have an answer to your question.
They're pretty bad.
It just doesn't work.
Yeah, we're talking to Joe Theismann. Joe, moving away from the Bills for a second, you were quoted, correct me if I'm wrong, about Tony Romo and his injuries. Your assessment is you don't feel he should play again. You want to expound on that?
Yes, and the reason why is I have great concerns for Tony as a man going forward, as a father, I've criticized him probably more than anybody, but I've come to appreciate him as much as anyone. His toughness, he's a warrior in this game. He has nothing to prove, and that shoulder hasn't even been tested yet. He's going to fall on it again. His back, this is the third procedure on his back. You're starting to play with fire right now. I hope that Dak Prescott becomes a terrific quarterback other than for 2 games in his career each year when he plays Washington, today being one of them. He's a young man that has athletic skills and potential. But I don't want to see Tony get hurt. That's why I think he should retire. That's why I think that the Cowboys have to be very careful. When he tried to escape out of the pocket on the play that he got hurt against Seattle, he was a man who could not get out of harm's way. When that happens, it's time to really assess where you are. Now, I don't know what he's going to wind up doing. I don't know what advice he's going to be given as far as his career goes. I know that I have great concerns about his health, and I don't want to see him get hurt again.
Is Cleveland going to win a game, Joe?
Wow. They're going to What a great question. You look at that division, you got to figure they'll go 0-6 in the division. Their offensive line is suspect. Josh McCown will get do a good job for him. I mean, the quarterback position won't be as big an issue. I think there was pressure to play Robert. I think that it was the only place that Robert Griffin III could go. I think everybody else basically didn't feel like they wanted to commit to him. Evidently, Hugh saw some of the things he liked. I still felt like in the game he looked skittish a bit in the at the position. Cleveland has had so much discord and so much inconsistency. That's the biggest thing, is you need consistent offensive coordinators. You need consistent head coaching. You need consistent play out of the quarterback position. See, at the quarterback position, you don't need to be great. You just got to be good at what you do. You have to be good at managing the game. I used to have a sign in my locker, and it was real simple. You never have to be the reason a team wins. You just can't be the reason it loses. Right now, the offensive line of the Cleveland Browns is suspect at best. So will they win a football game? Percentages say yes. Will they win more than four? Probably not.
We're talking to Joe Theismann. Joe, first week into the season, and we've got a lot of fans in Western, a lot of listeners in Western New York. For some reason, we have a lot of Pittsburgh Steeler fans in the Toronto
They're
area.
Everywhere.
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 What's your I've been asked. Got a couple of requests to get your assessment of the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I'll ask you for that. And what four teams do you see remaining standing at the end of all of this?
It's a little early to decide on the team standing, but as far as the Steelers go, the Steeler fans travel better than anybody in the National Football League. At FedEx Field the other night, there were probably seats 75,000. I would say at least 20 were Pittsburgh Steelers fans, 20,000 fans. The whole side behind the Pittsburgh bench, just about. Most teams, you get about a third of that. They're rabid fans. And you don't have Martavius Bryant. You don't have Le'Veon Bell. Everybody says, oh, D'Angelo Williams is a backup. No, he's not. He's a starter in the National Football League. He was a terrific runner at Carolina. Smart move by the Pittsburgh Steelers, bringing in somebody of this kind of quality to be able to play. I felt like the Redskins' problem from last year carried over to this year. They were unable to stop the run. That was a major problem. It wasn't about Antonio Brown as much as it was the Redskins having to commit so many guys to the line of scrimmage to try and stop the run. This will be a great challenge for them as well. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers will be one of those four teams that will be standing at the end. I mean, statistically, I love this stat. I was listening to Brian Billick, my good buddy on NFL Network this morning. Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger have not played in an entire season together, okay? But over the last 16 games, Antonio Brown has, I believe, 156 catches for over 2,000 yards. He's going to get his 130 or 140, whatever it is. And he's just a beast when he gets his hands on the ball. He's elusive, he's quick, he's strong, he's fast. And then you stick Martavius on the other side. And Jesse James, is there a better name in
what a great name
today than Jesse James? He has stepped in and done a terrific job for Heath Miller. So, they're becoming very complete. And, of course, Ben Roethlisberger doesn't get enough credit for being one of the top three or four quarterbacks in the National Football League.
Talking to Joe.
I look around this league, and Tom Brady's great, and Drew Brees is great, and Aaron Rodgers is great, but you got to put Ben right up there with him.
Joe, just a couple of minutes left. We won't keep you too much longer. And there's a story that just doesn't go away with the NFL, and I want your assessment on it. And the Philadelphia Eagles, from the press reports I've read, are planning an anthem protest Monday night, and this all goes back to the Colin Kaepernick. And I've read an article about what your opinion is on it. Obviously, Colin has the right legally under his First Amendment rights to express his opinions, and I think we can all agree on that. And I think we can all agree that there's serious social issues in the United States, and in fact, for that matter, around the world, that need to be addressed. And he's trying to make his point. Is he doing it in the right way?
I think what Colin did was I don't agree with what he did. I think every flag, represents something. He says it's not offensive. That if you were to poll 1,000 people in this country, the large percentage would say that the flag carries a great symbolism. The American flag carries a great symbolism for those people that have died to protect our freedom. That flag represents the fact that Colin Kaepernick can make $19 million. Now, if he feels like there are injustices, and there are, there's no question there are injustices in this world, but they've existed long before today. He has become the point man, the lightning rod, for a lot of conversation, which has been going on for a long time. This too, I'll quote the great book, "This Too Shall Pass," at some point in time. But you saw the Cavaliers protest. You saw the St. Louis Rams protest. Athletes are using their power and their forum to be able to express their opinions. My problem with Colin Kaepernick isn't so much his decision that he has the freedom. I have a problem with the decision, but it's his choice. So I respect the fact that that flag represents the fact that he has the freedom to be able to do this. My problem is when you wear socks with a pig head and a police hat on it, if you don't think that that's disrespectful, then you have I think you have issues far beyond anything. That to me is just flat wrong. What would this world be like? And there are problems in police forces, absolutely, just like there are problems in every facet of society. But I prefer to think of Carmelo Anthony, who protested in Baltimore after the Freddie Gray death. But yet he went and represented the United States of America in the Olympics and helped bring back a gold. As a matter of fact, if it wasn't for what he did, I think in one of the games, we wouldn't have the gold. So I think that what guys are doing is they're sort of making it known. The Seattle Seahawks all locked arms to honor the flag. Monday night at our football game, there were many of our players that went up and held the flag with everyone in the beginning of the game. So we're seeing a lot of diversity when it comes to opinions about what's going on in society. I don't think that the football place is a place for it. I think that's one place where people go to escape. But like I said, that flag represents the fact that you have the freedom to make the decisions and be free to do the things you do. I do know the NBA has a rule that requires players to stand for the national anthem.
Anyways, Joe Theismann. Joe, it's always a pleasure.
Always
a pleasure.
Good to catch up with you on a Sunday morning. Another great football Sunday. Hey, by the way, how did my Argos do?
They lost 49-29 yesterday.
Okay, forget it. Let's take, if we recorded this, we could erase that question.
Anyways,
unfortunately, Joe, I can't take it back.
Argos have had a mixed season, and they've got a fantastic new facility. I know that you were up here a month or so ago at that facility.
The fans keep coming out. Going to host the Grey Cup in Toronto. I was hoping to try and make it up for it. I can't get there now because of commitments, but I'm planning on hopefully trying to get to another game before November rolls around. I just think that, to me, the Canadian Football League is fun to watch. I watch it every night. I get a chance to down here in the States on Thursday or Friday. And, it's provided a lot of great opportunity for guys to be able to go on and further their career in other places. But, I'm forever indebted to the CFL, to Leo Cahill, to the city of Toronto, who embraced me with such open arms. And
Joe,
you know, it's my home.
And we still love you. Believe you me.
Thanks, buddy.
We have incredible memories, and hope I bump into you in the golf course sometime again soon.
Absolutely. I was out yesterday playing, so I'll see you at RTJ.
Thanks so much. That, of course, was Joe Theismann, and it's always a pleasure talking some Notre Dame football, especially when I've got all this Alabama testosterone surrounding me, but I love talking Notre Dame football, and one of my great loves, and one of my other great loves is the Toronto Maple Leaf, and we're pleased to welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour the president of the Toronto Maple Leafs and the alternate governor, Brendan Shanahan. Good morning, Brendan. Brendan, are you with us? Brendan? Oh, we must have lost his signal. We'll try and... Sebastian, if you can see if you can get Brendan back on the phone. Let's see if we can chat with him. I know we had him on the phone, and we must have lost the connection. Hopefully we'll connect with him so soon. Brendan, are you there?
I'm here. I can hear you.
Okay, Brendan. Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm good, thanks.
Thanks so much.
I'm standing in a parking lot in London, Ontario.
Okay.
Their rookie camp. So if it's loud, I apologize.
No, it's not loud. We thank you so much for joining us, Brendan. And hockey is becoming a buzz in the city of Toronto this week with the World Cup going on, and of course the great performance by Canada last night. But we want to talk about some of the great, great things that the Toronto Maple Leafs are planning for this year. And it's, of course, a centennial celebration. And I just want to start off, Brendan, my congratulations on the new logo, the new centennial logo. I actually think it's perfect, absolutely perfect. A fantastic job by your designers. And tell us how that all came about.
Well, thank you. I mean, I can't take credit for that. That is part of our big team there with the Leafs. And Shannon Hosford is really a star for us when it comes to doing a lot of that stuff and getting her people on design and plans for the centennial. And, I just get to see sort of like the end result. And, usually when she's on a project and I see it at the end, I just say, looks great, go for it. So, I like it as well. I think that it's, we have a job at hand here for sure, and that's to, worry about the future of the team. But when you have an organization like Toronto that means so much to the people in the city, you have to honor its past, and you have to celebrate its 100th birthday the right way.
We're talking to Brendan Shanahan, president of the Toronto Maple Leafs. So I want to talk about a few of the exciting things coming up this year, Brendan. And there's a special exhibit at the Hockey Hall of Fame celebrating the Leaf centennial. Tell us a little bit about that exhibit and what, if people go down to the Hockey Hall of Fame, what they can find.
Well, I mean, just exactly how you explained it. I was there at the opening. It sort of can take you through chronologically the beginning of the Leafs, which started out as the arenas and then moved to the St. Pat's and then moved on to the Maple Leafs. Some interesting artifacts in there. And, the Hockey Hall of Fame does such a great job. I think that, we were honored that they dedicated a small wing to us on our birthday. And, if you're a Leaf fan, if you're a hockey fan, it's something nice to see. I find it always interesting just to see the difference between the equipment and that's been used over the decades. And, now these guys, if you look, they've got these high-tech, hockey sweaters, sweat repellent and lightweight. And then you see what some of these guys wore in the 50s and 40s, and it's unbelievable.
Brendan, one of the key and really important events, of course, is the Centennial Classic on January 1st, 2017 at BMO Field. And the Leafs will be playing the Detroit Red Wings. And that's certainly an incredibly exciting event. Are there, just so our listeners know, are there tickets available for that? And where would our listeners find tickets?
Oh, man, putting me on the spot. There are tickets available. I think that... I think they're going to be coming up soon. I can't give you an exact answer on that. I think that with the focus right now being on the World Cup, that we were sort of waiting till that part was over before we were going to give information on the Centennial Classic. But knowing our Leafs, we'll make sure that our fans know exactly, where they are and how to get them. It'll be great. It's for us, we're, it's 2 points. It's a big game. It's a real game. That's what our guys will be focused on, is getting those 2 points. But at the same time, it'll be a great experience for the guys to reflect on. And it's nice to have an outdoor game like this in Toronto. The league is sort of celebrating their 100th birthday with us on that at that game and on that day. So, but I know Mike Babcock and our players will be thinking about one thing, really, and that's 2 points.
We have a large audience, and our audience is 45 and up, and they look back at the Leafs and look at all the great players that played in the organization. What are we doing to bring these guys back, Brendan?
Well, I think that's something that certainly, since I'm 47 years old and grew up in Toronto, regardless of how the Leafs were doing, they were my team. There was no question about choosing another team, and that's just the way it was from our era and our generation. We didn't have these multi-channels with several teams to watch. There was a choice, but even if we did, it's you supported your home team. So I think since I can just say for over the last 3 years since I've been here, it's really important to me that we, celebrate our history, use our history and some of our great players to motivate our current players. I don't see a team recognizing their history and making sure that their alumni feel good and feel a part of the present as a distraction or as an anchor or as too much pressure. I don't see it that way at all. I really felt I was lucky when I played in Detroit to get to know Ted Lindsay and to hear about, his time with the Red Wings and his Stanley Cups and what it meant to him. And to me, it helped motivate me and it helped make me feel even more connected to the organization. So I think when you bring in guys like Keon and you see the current players getting to know the alumni, I think that's an advantage.
We're talking to Brendan Shanahan, talking about Leaf alumni. And my compliments on this, on what you're doing in terms of identifying the top 100 Maple Leafs of all time. And on your website, fans were entitled to go on and cast their vote. And I dutifully went on that website this week, Brendan, and cast my vote for who I feel are the top Toronto Maple Leafs of all time. And you're going to be announcing those or introducing those throughout the season. Tell our listeners a little bit more about the 100 Toronto Maple Leafs of all time and how you will actually be announcing that.
I wish I had Shannon Hosford on.
Sorry to put you on the spot, Brendan.
I should have called her right before the show. I'm focused on watching our rookies today.
That's okay.
Okay, tell us how Mitch Marner's doing.
So I might be lying to you, but yeah. I think I'm telling the truth. I believe that we're going to announce those actually coming up in the next little while. I believe between Legends, somewhere around the unveiling of the new Legends Row statues just prior to the season starting. I can't tell you the exact date, but it's coming up and it'll be before the season starts, so right around there.
The classic game is January 1st, and I can't – BMO Field will be a great facility to watch that game. I've been there for football and soccer, and I think it'd be outstanding for hockey, really outstanding. Will you be playing in the alumni game, and will you be playing for the Detroit Red Wings?
yeah, it sounds sort of weird, but I don't really play. I don't play any hockey at all anymore. But I did agree at the Winter Classic when Toronto played against Detroit in Detroit. I did play in that one for the Red Wings, and then I played in the alumni game last year in Colorado. So if there's alumni game. I am going to on that particular afternoon. I'm going to be suiting up for the Red Wings. People sort of raise an eyebrow and remind them that as much as I'm working for the Leafs and now part of the Leafs, I never had the honor of playing for them. So I will be a foe
for at least a couple of hours that day.
Well, Brandon, you got to do what all the other professional sports stars do. On the day before they retire, they sign a one-day contract. So I think you should sign a one-day contract to play for the Toronto Maple Leafs so you can suit up in the blue and white. Talking about suiting up, Brandon, we won't keep you much longer, but there's a fantastic tournament going on right now in Toronto. It's the World Cup of Hockey. And, of course, you're a Hockey Hall of Fame member, but you're also a member of a pretty exclusive club, which is called the Triple Gold Club, which is you've won a world championship, you've won an Olympic gold, and you've won a Stanley Cup. So you've worn the red and white with the Canadian Maple Leaf proudly on a lot of different occasions. And the one, of course, I remember is the 2002 Salt Lake Olympics, where Canada won gold for the first time in over 50 years. But tell us from the perspective of a player, and when you did it, what did it mean to you? What did it feel like when you put that that Canadian red and white on and you got to listen to the national anthem?
Well, I never got the chance to play in a Canadian city in the NHL as my home team. So it was a great feeling to be able to put on the Canada sweater and play in Canadian buildings and feel that support and that passion. So anytime you can play for your country, every player will tell you it's a huge honor, and they're not making that up. It's You think about the moments, the Hendersons and, you know, the Gretzky to Lemieux and, you know, the golden goal happened after I stopped playing. But you know that your country, there is the potential when you go to these tournaments and you're representing your country that you have a chance, your team has a chance to make a memory that Canadians will have that where were you when moment. So that's a huge honor.
We've been talking to Brendan Shannon. Brendan, we won't keep you any longer. We very, very much appreciate your time this morning. Sorry if we got lost into the minutiae of some of the celebrations, but
No, it's great. It's all very important. Like I said, it's next time I come on, but I'll definitely have someone from our PR team.
No, I think we conveyed to the essence to the listeners that this is a very special year for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and they should keep an eye on some. Great things that are coming out from the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I want to take the opportunity, Brendan, of congratulating you for you and your staff and Lou and all the other Mike and Mark and Kyle and all the other important members of the management staff. We've been critical at times, but we get the sense you guys are doing a fantastic job. You brought a sense of professionalism. We feel the fan base feels that we're pointed in the right direction. There's certainly a big buzz in the city watching Austin Matthews play for that under 23 team. And this is, Naz will pat me on the back for this. This is the most excited we've been as Leaf fans for quite a while. And we thank you for that. And on a personal note, thank you for bringing Dave Keon back to the Air Canada Centre. It means a lot to the fans of our generation. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you, guys. Thanks very much. And you know what? Our fans have given us the support to do the things that need to be done. They've pleaded with us to have the patience to stick with it. I do agree with you that we've got the ship pointed in the right direction. It's still going to take some time. But I think we've got a good fan base that sort of recognizes that. But we're hard at work every day focused on getting this team better. And luckily, we've got a bunch of really committed people who I think are really talented that are working for us to help do that. And we've got a bunch of committed young players, and it's going to be fun watching them grow.
All we can do is wish you the best. Have a successful season. Thanks so much, Brendan.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Our pleasure. That, of course, was Brendan Shanahan. And
he chuckled that he's playing for the Red Wings. So.
I still want to see him in the blue and white. He should be a Toronto Maple Leaf, an honorary Toronto Maple Leaf. Somehow he should play half the game in the red and white and half the game in the blue and white. That's what I'd love to see. Anyways, we thank Brendan for taking the time for us this morning. He's got some duties down at the camp down in London, Ontario, and hopefully we can stay in touch with him the rest of the season. It's time for our break, and we'll be right back after the break. Thank you.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville announced the Pepperoni Party Pizza Special. Get 24 slices for just $24. Can you eat it all in just 24 hours? 24 square slices smothered in pepperoni. You've also got to deal with 6 bottles of Pepsi. 24 plus 6 Pepsi for 24. Can you finish it? Go to pizzaville.ca for details.
At 20,000 square feet, Steeles Paint in Woodbridge is Canada's largest independent paint store. Big deal, right? Big deal, yes. The best brands, the best staff, the best advice, the best of everything. From color matching to brand selection, whether you're a pro or a DIYer, we'll look after you from the minute you walk in to the minute you walk in a second time as a completely satisfied customer. Big store, big deal, bigger satisfaction. Simple. Steeles Paint, 4190 Steeles Avenue West in Woodbridge.
At Titanium Logistics, we believe that choosing the right shipping company comes down to two issues, price and cost. Most prices are competitive. We'll likely save you money too. But the cost of choosing the wrong company to service your cross-border freight to and from the U.S. and Mexico can be extraordinary. If it's not where it should be, when it should be, that bargain price, worthless. Titanium Logistics. On time, on budget. Call 905-266-3014. Ask for Blair Downey.
This is Daryl Sittler for Alta Infinity and Vaughn. I've worked with some pretty great teams over the years, and the staff at Alta ranks among the very best. Expert sales, superior service, and the largest selection of Infinity cars and SUVs in Canada, and the most competitive pricing anywhere. It's no wonder that Alta has been an all-star performer for well over a decade. Visit AltaInfinityWoodbridge.com, or better yet, drop by the No. 7 Auto Mall at the corner of Martin Grove and Highway 7. Experience the difference that makes Alta Infinity the captain's choice.
There's an old saying, entrepreneurship doesn't build character, it reveals character. Entrepreneurs learn to trust a person by trusting people. The law firm Rigabon Carly understands this. They know all about entrepreneurs because they work for them. Every day, they've earned their trust. They know that when it comes to meeting the legal and business needs of entrepreneurs, good enough is not enough. Rigabon Carly, the intelligent choice.
You name it, they'll argue about it. No sport left unturned. The boys are back, the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto, and Naz, just going back to that Shanahan, I can't let this one go. I got to see him in the blue. To see him in the enemy jerseys of the Detroit Red Wings at an alumni game at a Centennial Classic, somehow we've got to get him in with a Maple Leaf on. I still think he should sign himself to that one-day contract. Anyway, it should be an exciting event.
It should be, yeah.
Certainly was a pleasure talking.
And you're right about the Leaf fans looking forward to this season, because there's a lot to look forward to. There's a lot of good young players coming, and it should be interesting.
See, I mean, they got a dilemma on their hands with Mitch Marner, and hopefully Mitch, obviously watching him play last year certainly in the Memorial Cup and then the World Junior, he's an exciting player. So if somehow he can't sending him back to junior, I won't say it's a wasted year, but hopefully they find a way that for him to make the team. Because junior hockey is not the place anymore for Mitch Marner.
And they signed somebody from the KHL that has been Zaitsev.
Is it Zaitsev?
Yeah,
he's
defenseman.
A player.
He is the number one defenseman on the Russian team in the World Cup. Yeah. So you know what? We were talking about the Leafs defense not being as good. They might be better than you think.
Yeah, and the goaltending should be improved.
The goaltending should be improved.
Should be improved. Yeah. So exciting things at the Air Canada Centre. And I made the comment last week, a lot of us, seasons ticket holders, we may not be, but a lot of us buy, 5 or 10 games from a season ticket holder. And, the season ticket holders the last few years have been having to discount those tickets. I think this year they may be asking a premium. So if you want to buy tickets from a buddy of yours or somebody you normally buy tickets for, it might be a good time to buy them now before the price goes up. Anyways, we've got a few minutes left on the show. I'm going to talk a little bit about the World Cup of Hockey. And if you've got anything on your mind sports-wise and you want to talk about it on the air, please give us a call. I'll read out the numbers for you right now. 416 1-866-740-0740, 1-866-740-4740. We've got time for a couple of calls. 416-360-0740, 1-866-740-4740. Please give us a call. We'd love to chat with you on the air. Naz, the World Cup of Hockey. Unfortunately, I was at an event last night, wasn't able to watch Canada in the Czech Republic. I saw the final score, 6-0. Apparently, Sidney Crosby left his mark on this game, as he did on the game the other night. Sidney Crosby last year, up until January, was not having a very good season. And a lot of people were saying is the best of Sidney Crosby behind him. Since about January of last year, there's no doubt that Sidney Crosby has been the best hockey player in the world.
Yeah, he was dominant. He was dominant last night. Bergeron and Marchand were terrific.
Certainly a terrific line. And you're in a World Cup where there's absolutely no margin for error. I mean, this thing's over. You blink and the tournament's over. And the United States, off their performance yesterday, they're behind the eight ball immediately. They lost a game that nobody expected they were going to lose to an opponent that they thought was just a hodgepodge of a whole bunch of guys around Europe.
Some pretty good players on that team. And they got it handed to them yesterday. There's some pretty good players on that team.
You know, when you got to go up against Zdeno Chara and Kopitar and Hossa, you know, they're as good as anybody. You know, you could be talking three Hall of Fame players right there.
Yeah.
You know, Kopitar, Hossa, Chara, those guys are headed to the Hall of Fame. Halak. You know, I mean, Montreal Canadian fans know what Halak can do when he gets hot, and that's the margin of error in a tournament like this. One game and you're done. For the United States, you know, that one game they got a hill to climb now, and they got a tough one against Canada coming up. And Canada, you know, in a tournament like this, you can't lose because you know you're always up against it. So Canada's going to come out firing because they've got to win the game too because nobody wants to lose. And the United States, they lost to Team Europe. They lose the next one. They could be going home.
Yeah, and Montreal Canadian fans, Carey Price looks terrific. He looked great last night. And if that's how he's going to play in the regular season, Montreal is going to be back in the hunt for a playoff spot.
Certainly. I'll give out our phone numbers once again if you want to give us a quick call. 416-360-0740, 1-866-740-4740. Team Canada certainly got the start that they wanted. Your assessment of the game, what impressed you about the team? Any weaknesses there?
There isn't any weaknesses on that team. Their defense is so good. Their goaltending is stellar, and their forwards, they're so deep at up front. They shouldn't lose a game. But anything can happen in a game, but they shouldn't lose a game. They're that good.
You know,
they are that good.
Well, interesting games today. Sweden and Russia, and the Team North America against the Finns. And we get another up and close personal view of Austin Matthews tonight, who's he's on a line, I believe, with Eichel
McDavid.
Wow. You know, the interesting thing about those three guys.
Listen to this
story about these three guys who are all good enough to make their national teams right now. Connor McDavid should be playing on Team Canada right now. Jack Eichel should be playing on Team USA right now. Austin Matthews is good enough to play on Team USA right now. If they have this tournament in 4 years' time, those three guys will still be on the under-23 team.
Take a look at Austin Matthews. He started off as the 13th forward on the North American team, and now he is on the top line. This kid is so polished defensively in both ends of the rink that he's a Jonathan Toews, but bigger. Just think of that. He's Jonathan Toews right now and bigger. bigger body than
I had this
Jonathan.
Argument. I was out at an event last night, and not an argument, discussion. And we obviously, Auston Matthews, just on what I've seen so far, if he isn't the number one center, I mean, it's really a question of how Babcock, I mean, we tend to forget he's only 18 years old, and is Babcock going to ease him in? What role is Babcock going to ease Auston Matthews in? Is he going to make him his number one guy right off the bat and play 30 minutes a game, doing everything, or is he going to ease him into it?
I don't know yet. I don't think they're going to ease him into it. You know why? Because he's proving himself in the World Cup and the highest competition, yeah. Right?
So why would
you ease him in?
So then that's the question. Who do you play him with?
Van Riemsdyk has to be one
Van
of the
Riemsdyk?
Guys.
I was making that argument. Just, you know what? Put talent with talent.
Yeah.
Van Riemsdyk is a finisher. He's got hands. He can see the ice.
And put the
he's
kid
talented.
There, the other kid, Nylander.
I was thinking Uncle Leo on
yeah,
that
he'd
side.
Be okay on that line.
Komarov.
You know what? He is the number one center on the team, for sure. No question about it.
So you might as well do it off the hop. Anyways, it's 10 o'clock, and it's time for us to bid adieu for another week on the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. Certainly this week, Naz, we will be watching the Blue Jays, and we will be watching Team Canada and a little bit of Team Under 23. Should be an exciting week in the world of
sure
sports.
Sure should be, yep.
To all our listeners, have a fantastic week.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.